And today we have got, I honestly think, one of my favorite speakers, communicators, thought leaders I know in the United States. Pastor Kevin Gerald pastors an amazing church called Champions Church, and he's been a great friend. He and his wife Sheila have Sharon and I for over 20 years. We love them, and I'm thinking in this month of legacy of people who can come and just add value and stir us to continue to stay in faith and keep thinking about the generations. Remember Psalm 8 verse 2, ask of me, says the Lord, and I will give you nations. And we are believing God in this month of legacy for the nations of the earth. And we want to continue to do all that God's called us to do. And I couldn't think of anybody better to come and to stir us and motivate us than Pastor Kevin Gerald. I'm going to ask everybody, come on, let's get on your feet. And I want you to give a huge Wave Church welcome to Pastor Kevin Gerald.
Good morning, Wave Church. Wow, wow, wow. So great to be with you guys today, to be back with you guys today. And it's been a long, long time. And I just want to greet all of you wherever you are today. I want to welcome you or greet you in Norfolk, greet you there in Wilson, greet you in Richmond. We are so happy to be here in your great city, in your great church. And you guys have such a great past, and you have such a great legacy. In other words, you got the history and you got the future, and you have awesome, amazing leadership leading your church today. We love your pastors. We love Pastor Steve, Pastor Sharon, and we have been friends with them a long time and respect them so much, honor them so much. And I know that you realize you are blessed to have them today leading the way. And when I got here and arrived, and I could still sense the vision of this house and the passion of your lead pastors, and that you guys are going somewhere, just got me all excited again to be with you. Jacob wrestled with the angel, the story in the Bible. He wrestles with the angel, and then when the morning came, he said, how awesome is this place? Like, this is the presence of God. And I just want to say, you have an awesome place. Why don't you do that? Why don't you turn to somebody around you and tell them, this is an awesome place. This is an awesome place. We have awesome pastors. We have great leaders. And so today, I want you, if you would, just to say this out loud with me, and then we'll jump into the message. Say with me, my heart's open, my mind's ready, make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen, and you may be seated. Today, I'm going to talk to you on the topic of good pharma. Good pharma. I'm going to talk to you about don't hold back, seed your future. Let me first of all just say, if that word pharma sounds a little odd or familiar to you, the word karma is rooted in Hindu philosophy, and it's the law of cause and effect, or what goes around comes around. But a lot of people don't realize or don't understand that the Bible teaches a similar principle of life called seed time and harvest. In other words, the scripture teaches us that our choices and our actions and our words and our habits today are creating a harvest in our life tomorrow. So somebody say good pharma. We're going to talk about practicing the universal law today of sowing and reaping in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 says this: whoever watches the wind will not plant, And whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. And whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Let's jump over to verse 6. It says, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. The writer here is using the analogy of farming to summarize a principle about life. And basically what he's doing here is he starts in verse 4 by saying what I would summarize as don't hold back. Like, if you watch the wind, you will hold back. You'll not plant. If you look at the clouds and you focus on the weather, then there's not going to be a harvest when you expect or hope to have it. So he begins with this thought, and this is how I was reading this verse a few weeks ago, and it just came to me, and I thought the summary of that verse is don't hold back. Say that with me. Don't hold back. And then he goes on, and he admonishes, and he encourages us. The second part of that message is seed your future. Seed your future. So basically he's saying to us that the farmer who is going to see a harvest can't hold back, but he's got to get out in the field and he's got to sow the seed in the morning. And in the evening, he cannot allow himself to be idle. He's got to get out there in the field and not let the weather hold him back. He's got to realize that when the forecast isn't perfect, he still has to get out there. And he can't allow the farmer's almanac to hold him back. He can't allow another farmer who's discouraged and saying, it's just been so hot lately, and this is a horrible time to sow, or the weather's not right, or it's never. He just can't let any of the conversation discourage him or hold him back. He can't allow weariness to hold him back. He has to be relentless. He has to be tenacious. He has to be determined. He has to be faithful at sowing his seed. And when he does that, he can do it with an expectation of a harvest. Let me tell you something today, church family. There's a harvest in your future. There's a harvest in your future. For good or for bad, there's a harvest. Individually, there's a harvest for each and every one of us in our future. And as a church, there's a harvest in our future. Don't hold back. Come on, that's our message today. Don't hold back. Seed your future. So what I want to begin with today visually is I want to begin with you imagining your future as an empty field. Just a big empty dirt field with lots of options, lots of potential. There's nothing there yet. But whether you do something or whether you do nothing, there's a harvest in your future. In other words, what I'm telling you is that people who are passive, they end up with stuff growing in that dirt field too. People who are negligent still end up with stuff in the field. The harvest of weeds, called like the I don't care weeds, well, there's a harvest in that. Or the I just want to have fun mindset creates a, there's some crabgrass that's gonna grow there. The TikTok crabgrass or the video game crabgrass. In other words, it may not be something healthy or good or positive, but something is coming in your future. There's a harvest in your future. And the unfortunate thing is when we don't get the right seed in the ground, then there's other stuff that's going to take up good space in the field of our future. There's other stuff that's going to take up the space where other things could have been planted. So that's the first picture. Just envision your future, if you would, today, like an empty field. Possibilities. Great possibilities. The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to think of your future like a field within the kingdom of God that is separated into five sections. So just have a look at it there. We're going to keep it up for a second and let you look at it. If you're a believer in Christ, your life is now under the lordship of Christ, and this is a visual that you can use to visualize the field of your future. First of all, it's surrounded or within, I should say, the kingdom of God. When we give our life to God, we are now citizens of his kingdom. We seek first his kingdom. Can you say amen? We are in the world, we are not of the world. We respect man, but we obey God. We are kingdom-minded people, right? So our whole life, like that's the whole idea of giving the Lord our life, is that we put it within the kingdom of God, and our life becomes the territory of the kingdom. It belongs to God's kingdom on earth. The second thing I want you to notice about the graphic that you're looking at is that I want you to see your field, the field of your future, separated into five sections. Okay, five sections. The first one is your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotion. There's a section for that, and there's got to be good stuff going into your soul if you're going to have a good harvest in your soul. If your soul is going to be good, we got to sow good seeds into it. The second part is your relationships, your marriage, your family, your friends, your mentors, your proteges, you know, just the people in your life. There's a future. There's a future in relationships, for good or for bad. The third area I want you to look at is your finances. In your finances, the field of your future has a financial harvest in it. It could be good or not so good, but there's a future there. Your body, physically, your health, there's a future for you physically. And then the last one that I put on here is just your work, like your career, your employment, what you do with your talent, what you do with your life and with your ability and your energy. Like that's your field. So if you have a look at that, it's like within the kingdom, there are parts of my life that are all going to produce a good harvest. Now you might say, well, why do you, or we want them to produce a good harvest? They have potential in each section of the field. So you might say, well, Pastor Kevin, like, why do you break it down like that? I just want you to understand that just because you do good with your investment on the job doesn't mean that it's going to help your relationships. It's not going to give you a better marriage just because you are working a whole lot and you're investing a whole lot into your career or into your work. You got to realize that every part of our life has possibilities in our future and be conscious of how we are investing ourselves and sowing our seed. Okay, you got it? Say, I got it. Now, the next thing I want to point out is that seeding your future starts with selecting the right kind of seeds. And the reason for that is because the law of the universe is that every seed produces after its own kind. All right, that's what God said in Genesis 1. He said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with what? With seed in it, according to their various kinds. So think with me for a minute. What this means is that if you go to a seed store and you say, I'd like to buy some seeds, there's two things that they want to know. The first thing they want to know is, well, what kind of seed? And the second thing they want to know is, how much of it do you want? What kind and how much? And if you say, well, I don't know what kind of seed I want, then they're going to say, well, what kind of harvest do you want? Right? Because you don't plant apple seeds and get a harvest of avocados. You don't plant tomato seeds and get watermelons. So it's a really important factor here, the way God created the universe, that everything produces after its kind, means that all of our seed sowing has a nature to it. And what's true in agriculture is also true in life. Like if you plant apples, what are you going to get? Come on, church. What are you going to get? You're going to get apples, right? So what's true in agriculture is true in life. Our harvest is literally predictable based on the kind of seed we sow and the amount of seed we sow. So, for example, if you're single, and I know there's a bunch of you today, you're single, and you don't know what kind of marriage you want, then it doesn't matter what kind of person you date. Oh, hello. Hello. I mean, if it doesn't matter, if you're like, well, I don't know, you know, like if you don't know what you want, then it doesn't matter who you're hanging out with. Or think about it like this. If you're married and you don't know what kind of marriage you want, then it doesn't matter what kind of attitude you have. Like if you look down the road 3 years, 5 years, and you're not thinking, man, I want this kind, I want a relationship to be like this, then it really doesn't matter what attitude you have right now. It doesn't matter what words you speak right now. I was on an airplane with my wife. We were loading on the airplane. We got into our seats, and this couple came in. They'd walk down the aisle, and they're trying to get seated in the seats in front of us. And so the man, they're a bit older than us, and the man is taking his suitcase, his little carry-on, he's putting it up, you know, above them. And then his wife says, ask him to put hers up, and he kind of like mumbles a little something, and then, you know, and she says something to him, and then, you know, he's grumbling while he puts hers up, something about it being heavy, and, you know, I don't know. And so we watched all of this happen, and I looked at my wife and I said, let's not be that. Like, let's not let that happen. Like, let's keep on working on this so that we don't become the grumbling older senior citizen couple. Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's so real that right now you and I are in a season where what we do today creates a harvest in our life tomorrow. What we say today creates a harvest in our life tomorrow. The way we behave today creates a harvest in our life tomorrow. And you might be wishing for a good harvest, or you might be praying for a good harvest. I believe in the power of prayer, but please let me tell you, that's not the same as planting. What that's like a farmer sitting on his porch wishing and praying for a good harvest in his field. How many of you know that doesn't work? Like you, because the Bible's like, come on, sow your seed in the morning. Like, don't you dare hold back. Don't you just sit on the porch. And a lot of Christians, unfortunately, a lot of believers, there are people who like, they're just like, pray. They believe in the power of prayer. And so they don't realize that it's not just prayer, it's also prayer and works. It's like, go ahead and do and align yourself with the vision that you have and you want. Plant that seed. Plant that seed. Don't hold back. Seed your future. The next thing I want to share is that doing good always creates a harvest of good things. Doing good always creates a harvest of good things. Scripture says, Galatians 6, like, let's not be weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will what? We will reap a harvest of what? Of good things. Of good things. If we don't give up at the proper time. At the proper time. At the proper time. And isn't it great when prayers get answered and dreams come true, like, fast? But how many of you know it doesn't always happen fast? But that's like the harvest. A baby leaf lettuce takes just 15 days, and there it is. Cucumbers and peas take 40 days. Tomatoes take 90 days. An apple tree takes 4 to 5 years. And you can go on and on about all how everything takes, you know, it's in its own time. That's why the scriptures say that at the proper time, somebody shout proper time. Come on, proper time. There's some of you right now who are believing God for an open door. You're believing God for an answer to prayer at the proper time. The Bible promises that if we don't give up, we keep sowing good seed. Come on, we're going to reap a good harvest. I remember reading about something called a tree called the Chinese bamboo tree. Listen to this. This is pretty crazy, but the Chinese bamboo tree, when you put the seed in the ground, it takes something like 4 years, you won't even see it, and you have to cultivate it. It has to get nurtured. It has to have water. And then in the fifth year, it pops up out of the ground, and they say you can almost see it growing because it grows 90 feet, like 80, 90 feet in 1 year. In 1 year. And you think about all these examples, and isn't that true in life itself? Is that there's some stuff that seems like it takes forever. We've been praying, we've been believing, we've been sowing seed for it a long time. But, you know, I just want to encourage you today that if you have a lifestyle of doing good and being generous, then good seed will always produce a harvest of good things. Always. Always. I'm never surprised whenever blessings find me. I get excited, and I'm definitely thankful, but I've learned to expect blessings since I've lived my life to be a blessing. By nature, I'm an introvert. I'm like, I'd rather be alone. But because of the calling on my life, I pushed past some of that, and I broke out of just keeping to myself. I came out of my shell just to continue to do what I was called to do. And I encourage other people. I give my best to serve others. I sacrifice so others can win. And I'm not telling you this to boast in my life, but to boast in God, because as you do things like this and you invest yourself, I get upgrades on airline tickets with no explanation. I get upgrades on hotel rooms, no extra cost. I receive cards of gratitude and emails and gift cards. I sit in restaurants and get ready to pay, and people have already paid and gone. I don't know who they are, just strangers pay. And my point is, none of this happens by coincidence. The same thing happens for many of you. And for those who are in the habit of sowing good seeds and investing into other people's lives, come on, can we celebrate the power today of investing and sowing good seeds? When we sow good things, there's going to be a good harvest. I walked into the airport just a couple months ago. I walked into the airport in Seattle, I was confused immediately because the check-in desk and everything was moved around. They were revamping everything at the airline, and I realized quickly, like, I often just have a carry-on, but I had a bag to check, and I realized, man, I don't know where I'm going. And I asked somebody, and they're like, yeah, and they pointed to this long line that I had to get in. And I go to get in the line, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to make my plane. I was preaching, I was speaking somewhere. I'm going to miss this flight. And as I'm thinking that way, a gentleman walks up to me, an Asian man, and he just simply says to me, "Can I help you?" And I started to say, "Well, yeah, I'm confused." And as I'm starting to tell him, he's motioning me, just follow me, he says. And he took me outside. We walked down the sidewalk, and he takes me to one of those outside desks. And there's a long line as we're approaching it. There's a long line of people. And I'm thinking, well, what good is this going to do? But he goes behind the desk down to the very end, and he motioned me and waved me, "Come on down here." I went down there. I got in front of him. And as I'm getting ready, I'm looking around thinking somebody's going to say something. They're going to be frustrated because here I am. I'm in the front of the line. Now, he was at a whole different computer, but I was just trying to figure all this out. And quickly, he has checked my bag, and he's got my ticket ready for me and my bag receipt. And he looks me in the eye, and he says, "Pastor Kevin, the Lord sent me in there to help you." And then he says, "You help others. And today it is my honor and it is my privilege to help you." I have no idea how that happened. I can't explain to you how stuff like that goes on. But some of you, when you think about it, if you're looking for it, you know what I'm saying is true. Is that sowing and reaping. When you put good things out, good things are coming back. Can I encourage you, church? Let's keep doing good. Come on, let's keep being faithful. Let's keep being strong. Let's keep honoring God. Let's keep giving God our best. Let's keep having that attitude of knowing that when I sow and as I sow and how I sow, I'm going to seed the future and I'm going to get a harvest back of good things in my life. Amen? Amen? So I walked through your lobby and I saw signs and everything that's going on, and I realized that you have an offering coming up, and I just want to encourage you today. Would you see, to just see beyond the offering itself? I've been pastoring the same church now for 37 years in the Seattleland area, a very unchurched part of our nation, and the first year I was there, we received an offering, and I called it Liberty Offering. We now call it Legacy, but I called it Liberty Offering because we needed to get free of some debt that we had. It was when I became the pastor, the church had been fragmented in all different directions, and the morale was way low, and a small group of people in a bigger space, bigger room, but it was unfinished walls, paint, not painted. And I said, "Guys, can we just bring an offering?" In the first year, I think we brought $7,000. And that was just like, wow. And we just kept doing that as a church. And our church came to love the opportunity to seed. And because of that, we have moved and advanced forward as a church. Our auditorium seats have been paid for by that offering. Our roof, new roofs have been put on our church. Our screens on our stage, our media equipment. I mean, there's been lots of amazing things that have happened. We've been able to have strategic partners like Convoy of Hope and people and organizations who do disaster relief. And I just wanted to say that in a couple of weeks, you're going to have an opportunity in this offering to stand together in agreement for the future of your church and the possibilities that are ahead of you. I've got a visual for you today of things that did not exist 25 years ago. Have a look at it if you would. I'll just quickly rattle off a few of them. 25 years ago, there was no such thing as Tesla or SpaceX, even iPhone. There's no such thing as Airbnb. Isn't that crazy? Like Uber, Lyft, Avatar, DoorDash. Got this long list, like PlayStation, Pinterest, App Store. 25 years ago, none of that existed. And I'm showing you that because God wants us to seed our future with an imagination of the possibilities. In every way, I mean, God's given us creative power for the future. And that's why today, like, I think we have to realize the season and the time we're living in right now is a huge opportunity for us to sow good, because doing good is how we overcome evil. Doing good is how we overcome evil. I know some of you might be worried about what's going on today. Can I just tell you that there's a lot of strife and there's a lot of division, and what we're experiencing, don't think of it as just being political or social or racial. No. There's a kingdom conflict that's going on right now between light and darkness, between good and evil. And there has never been a more important time for us as God's people to do good and to invest in the future of the church. Wow. So as you get ready, can I just say to all of you that God has a future plan for us individually and as a church. Come on, Wave Church. Our children and our youth today, yeah, they're surrounded by evil and darkness. And what a time for us, like, to not hold back. Our kids, they need us. They need the church. They need to grow up knowing who God is, what God thinks. They need us to teach them that they are citizens of God's kingdom. I'm talking about not holding back. I'm talking about seeding our future. When we stay ambitious, when we stay full of vision, when we bring our most generous offerings, that means that we're thinking about the next generation. We're thinking about our children and our children's children. We want them to know that they are not a mistake. We want them to know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they are created in the image of God. Come on, we want them to know that God made them exactly as they are with purpose in their life. If we don't do that as a church, who's going to do that? That's why God's put us here today, is to make sure that as a church, we are staying strong, full of vision, full of light. Man, I'm just getting all fired up today talking to you about the future of this great church. How many of you know that God's not finished with us yet? Do you know that today? God's not done with us yet. God has a plan. God has a future. And that's why God's called us to bring our best, be our best, do our best. Because when we do, God blesses it. And we're able to move into the future and have the harvest that God has called us to have, even generationally. Amen? Okay, I have one last thought for you, and as I say it, I want you just to say these words again. Say, don't hold back. Seed your future. Say, self, don't hold back. Seed the future. Here's that last thought. Genesis 26, I summarized it, because it's a beautiful story. And I broke it down. It's going up on the screen verse by verse. But we're going to do it quickly so you can see it. It says, there was a famine in the land. The Lord appeared to Isaac and he said, don't go to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while and I'll be with you and I will bless you. So Isaac planted crops in that land. And the same year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Isaac became rich. His wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. famine in the land, people leaving the land. Things are not good, ground is hard. You put a seed in the ground, and for everyone around, they're discouraged, they're depressed. And here's what I want you to think about: how different Isaac's harvest would have been if he had allowed the conditions and the circumstances to hold him back. How different would his future and harvest have been if he had allowed the weather to stop him? Come on, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Be diligent. Come on, church, be faithful. How many of you can see a great future? How many of you are saying, I'm going to be faithful in the present because I know that God will give me the blessing in the future? You receive the word today? Come on, do you receive the word today? Let's just give the word of the Lord a great big hand. Amen.